You guys are all early birds.
I didn't want to miss the party.
There you go.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
And how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. That picture's not of me, by the way. That's my wife.
Gonna say your voice sounds really low.
Sorry. I don't know how to change it.
Well, if you come online with your video, eventually it'll change it. So,
All right.
see, like Jeff, he doesn't have a pretty picture of himself. You get a look at his real mug. Yep.
Well, that's kind of frightening, Jeff.
Can
You hear me? Or no?
Yep, now we can.
Or you just see my lips moving?
Nope, we're hearing you. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. Living the dream.
I know, I'm jealous. It's a good place to live.
We
Except for
think
when there's
so.
crazy fires. Good grief. That
That
was
had me a little
scary.
scared for a little
Yeah.
It's the same.
Hey, Tina.
So, Dave, you can actually change your name too if you want. If you click on your or hover over your picture, there's three dots up in the corner, and there's an option to rename in there. Find it.
I found it. I just need to move my screen around.
So Dave, I saw you posted that you went up Crawford. That you're a little braver man than I am.
Yeah, I responded to you. No, I didn't. I tried to keep it on the road. There were a couple spots where it was worse than others, but my wife was with me, so I just went really slow.
Yeah. I heard about some of those bottom out on them.
Yeah.
How are you lifted pretty good or?
Not really, but I mean, I did drag a little bit a couple times. I was more worried about my trailer, but it
Hitch
did
and
just
the hitch and
fine.
stuff, yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to kind of see what it was like. I heard about it initially and nothing's changed. It's just as bad as it was.
Yeah, it was a little bit worse than when I took pictures of it, and I've been going up and around the other way, but that adds like another 20 minutes on if you go to the left rather than straight up.
Right.
So that adds another 20, 30 minutes on, but I
Well,
knew I could make it.
Initially, just leaving the meadow, there were a lot of big rocks, like baseball, not baseball, but basketball size rocks. And that's where I kind of got weak in the knees and thought about turning around. But we made
Yeah.
it there, and then it was bad, but it wasn't that bad the rest of the way.
Well, I think a few people have been through there with their side by sides and stuff too, kind of knocking things down. And there's a couple of places I'd seen people threw a bunch of logs in and stuff that way. So.
Yeah, we didn't do anything. We just drove through. We didn't improve it at all. So I mean, it was drivable, so I didn't do anything to improve
Gotcha.
it.
Dave, is that where your lot is?
No, my lot's in Crawford. We went up and I talked to Pools just when the fire was out probably. But when we go home, we go up through Crawford Pass and through the forest. It saves a little bit of time, but it's a prettier drive. So I try to do that as often as possible, coming in and going out.
Michael Jordanson does the same thing. He says it cuts off like 5 or 6 miles of dirt road too, rather than coming down both Glendale Bench and then coming down Scunapah.
Right,
So.
right. Right. Well, I was also curious to see what the road looked like from the end of the pavement to the gravel pit. And I should have taken Jeff's advice and slowed down a little bit. After about the third one of catching air, my wife looked at me and I said, "Yeah, I'll slow down. I'll slow down because they are those
They've
feeders."
taken a few of them out. Yeah, they've leveled a few of them out though.
I just drove it yesterday and it's pretty smooth now.
Oh,
They're
nice.
filling in between all the lumps, so it's pretty
Gotcha.
smooth.
I figured that's what they were going to be doing. So I'll try to keep it under 50 most of the way. Anyway.
It's not smooth, but they filled in between the lumps because I had to avoid some big piles of dirt, but they're working on it.
When are they going to pave it?
No clue.
Don't know.
That made it sound like it was going to be a while, like they're going to do both of them at the same time. But the one down on Johnson Canyon, it looks like it's about ready to get paved.
Yep.
They wait too long, they'll just get more ruts from the rain. Very true. Dave, where's home for you?
Linden, Utah, in Utah Valley.
Okay. Okay. Sorry to cut you off, Kate.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Nice. Give
Can't give too many
it
things
time
at
to
the
come
same
back.
time. Well, Michael's our moderator, so I'm hoping he's going to jump on. There he is.
I'm on time. Don't say there I am.
You're right on time. Everybody was early, though, Michael. We're just Dave Turley's proven that we can go up Crawford Canyon, so you can come down it now.
I saw that. That will be awesome. I'm gonna try and sign in on the on my computer so I have a bigger screen. Well, let's get started anyway. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, attending, joining,
Participating.
participating. It's a good way to let people talk about their candidacy and maybe kind of the direction they'll lead. I'd like to do a pretty basic format. We'll start off in alphabetical order, kind of introduction of each candidate. Then we'll switch to any participant questions. And after that's done, we'll let each candidate have a few minutes to have any final words. With that, I think Jeff is up first.
And what do you want me to do? Just introduce myself. I'm Jeff.
Yes.
I think most everybody on here knows who I am. But my wife and I, she's sitting next to me, live out here full time. We built a house. I'm currently on the board, rerunning for another term. What do you want to know? I was trying to find a questions thing because there was
Yeah,
something said.
Danielle's going to send the questions that you responded to out with the recording of these minutes. So I don't know if you want to reiterate those or not.
Looking, I didn't see him right quick, so.
Just tell them your goals
I
for the
don't
board.
really have any goals. Just see what comes up and kind of go from there. Everything is out here just kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. You could have kind of a vision as to what you think the direction things should go, but then other more important things like insurance and all those things that came up this last term come up and take precedence. So you just do what you can.
Okay. Kate, I think you're next.
Okay. So again, I think a lot of you know me, Kate Hoff. I've been on the board for the last 3 years. Last year, the four of us that are, or the four positions now were only elected for a 1 year term. So, running again for another 2 year term. I don't know if I'm glutton for punishment or if Michael just hasn't kicked me around enough, but, gonna go ahead and try that. I feel like there's still a couple things that are outstanding. I mean, we're working through a lot of things and got things to a non-emergency point, but I think we still need to finalize quite a few things, and having the experience with the insurance and the waiver and a lot of the other things I think will kind of help me going forward. I mean, we've got water rights issues with Johnny Brown that we're still trying to settle out and figure out. And I have been here for the past 3 years, kind of working through some of those and want to kind of see those to fruition and get done with that. I came out to Deer Springs in 2022. So next spring will be the 5th year that we've been out there. We have two lots, one over in slide over kind of way to the west, about as far west as you can go. And then that's lot 280 and then lot 83 in Crawford. We've put a driveway and a pad into 280, but haven't done any structures or anything like that on that. On our lot 83, we do have a little container that we've insulated. And we've put it together a little bathhouse with the help of Jeff and Tina. And so we're kind of getting settled in there. So this year we've actually been up almost every weekend now that we have a place to stay and work through things. We've also been avid users of the cabins, working through with those. And so I think I've got a good experience using the cabins, being in the cabins, volunteering with the cabins, use that as well. And then I drive all over the ranch as a real estate agent. I have listed several properties out of the ranch. And I go show properties, show Dell's properties, Kathy's properties, et cetera. So I've been all over the ranch, know pretty well the conditions of the roads and the different areas of the perilous areas, et cetera, that way. So I feel like I can be a good advocate all around for the different members and look forward to serving for another couple of years. Look forward with trepidation a little bit that way, but yeah.
A lot of work.
Yep.
Dave, Shirley.
For starters, I think Tina, your motivation for wanting to be on the board, I admire you. I still have PTSD from 10 years ago because it's like a battle zone. And I admire anybody that's on the board. I watched at this last meeting. We had a few little kerfluffles. It's a tough job and it's thankless almost all the time. So those that still want to be on the board, I appreciate you, those that have been in the past. So I'm going into this with my eyes open. I'm doing it because I love the ranch, and I especially love people at the ranch. And for a long time, I just sit out and let things happen. And then I feel like maybe I contribute. I don't have any special talents or abilities necessarily, but I do want to contribute and want to make it an enjoyable help to make it an enjoyable place as much as possible. So again, I admire anybody that puts their hat in the ring and wants to make a difference. I've been around for 50 years, since before it was called Deer Springs Ranch. I'm half Clarkson. I am an independent thinker. Dale doesn't dictate to any of us, including his children, what to do. I ask him questions, what he thinks about things. Of course, I have my own opinion. He has only initiated one lunch in the entire time I've been involved. And it wasn't even initiated. He just said after the meeting, somebody said, should we go to lunch? And so we did. And he didn't say anything about the ranch. So for those of you that think that we fall in lockstep with him, he has some great ideas, and some of the ideas people think he dictates to us what we should do, and it's not true. So anyway, moving on, there are I did a survey when I was president 10 years ago or more, and as I was looking back at it, reading the comments, very interesting the feedback that I got. And without being too, I'm not going to go on any longer, but there may be 20 things that came up that I think ideas people suggested that are helpful. And those are the kind of things that I want to put out there and see if they get any traction. And we have a wide variety of people that don't want anybody to go to the ranch except for themselves. And then there are other people that want to include people and invite people and big groups or family or a friend or whatever it is. So we have a wide variety of interest in the ranch. And some people want it left alone. Some people want it improved. Some people want it paved all the way to the ranch house. Other people want it to continue to disintegrate and return to nature. So we have extremes on both ends. So anyway, the ideas I have, I think I included some of them in the questionnaire that we had, and of course we can talk about it later.
Thanks, Dave. And you're right. I mean, I'm just going to inject a little comment here. It's kind of hard to dismiss the knowledge that Dell has, whether you agree with the position or not. You know, at least hearing that is generally a good thing. Tina Warhurst, your turn.
Yeah. Okay. So I just most of what I needed to say was in the information that went out to the board, to the members. But I wanted to just first off thank the board for a thankless job. I really just in the last year back before when the waiver was such a huge issue and just watching how things have calmed and settled over the last year has been really nice. So I'm really grateful for that. For me, I'm just here to help. I don't pretend to know a whole ton about everything that goes on at the ranch, but I'm a quick learner. And I would really like to see better communication with the members, maybe prior to board meetings, so that they don't have to go on for 3 hours and can be a little bit more streamlined, and people can feel like they're heard and have a place for that to be. So, however, I can help with that communication. I know that not everybody's going to agree, but everybody deserves a voice, and there's probably a better way to let that be heard. And I'm happy to help in any other area that I can. I have time to commit, probably not the most time ever, but willing to commit. We're Lot 298. We have some shipping containers full of stuff and a couple of sheds out there that we've also turned into bathhouse place to hang out while we're up there. And we're there pretty much every weekend, barring any other events that come up. We're getting ready to build, knock on wood, sometime soon. So plan on being there a lot more and being able to commit more time as time goes on. And that's all I
Awesome.
have. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Kevin Poole, you're next.
I think I've got it working now.
You do. You're on.
Okay. Kevin Poole, Lot 64. My wife and I bought in, I guess, 2021. We spent the first 2 years as work campers. stayed in our RV on the RV spots down there. We became quite familiar with the workings of not only the cabins, but most of the aspects of the ranch. Had the opportunity to work hand in hand with Kurt when he was the property manager on a lot of that stuff. So I'm quite familiar with the goings on. In the process of the years, I've traveled like Cade, most of the roads, not all of them. There's still a few I haven't been down. But I've also now been on the board for a year also. We took one of those positions. It was a 1 year position there. And when I signed up for it, I questioned my sanity. So at the end of it, it was sitting on the fence. Do I really want to do this longer or do I not? But probably being a person who hates to leave things unfinished, I really decided that I would like the opportunity to continue improving the roads out here. I feel like we've had a fairly successful first year at that. We've managed to actually complete some projects, some mud holes, some bad spots that are no longer present. Now how long they hold is questionable. It depends on how much water you get and how much punishment the roads take. But I'd like to see about continuing that with that. As far as background goes, I've worked in the automotive trades and construction, both in small, like single family dwelling construction apartments, and also commercial demolition, chemical plants, large projects. I was a superintendent in that industry, so I'm quite familiar with logistics, asset identification, manpower, who to put where, when, how do you spend the money? What is the most cost-effective way to do it? I was also a business owner for 40 years, so been around the block with a whole lot of the other stuff. Really don't care for accounting, bookkeeping, reporting, all of those sorts of things. I just about rather have my eye gouged out with a rusty fork than make me do that. But when it comes to being the guy with boots on the ground to get things done, that's where I thrive and that's where I would like the opportunity to serve. And kind of like the other folks have said, it truly is a thankless job. So thanks to the other people who have served and are continuing to serve. Michael and Tom and Kurt still have another year. I'd like to see them re-up when it's over with and maybe have a solid board without all the turnover for a change. It'd be really great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Kevin. And as you all noticed, I went out of order. The alphabet is hard. Israel, it's your turn.
All for Israel.
I don't know if he's on.
I don't think, yeah, that's what I was just looking. I didn't see. All right. So that's the end of that then with Israel not on. All right. Let's go into some Q&A. I'd like to lay a few ground rules down, and that is just be respectful. And while questions for particular candidates are okay, I'd kind of like every candidate to maybe answer the question if it's possible. I mean, if it's a direct question to something only that person can answer, that's different. But I'd like to kind of, if we can, formulate the questions in a way that every candidate can answer it and participate.
I have a question for everybody. This is
Go ahead,
Sally.
Sally. Go ahead, Sally.
Okay. So here's my question for all the candidates. And it has to do with some of my confusion of a few months ago when lots of stuff was going on. So here's my question. Are you for or against the whole membership signing the waiver to protect Deer Springs Ranch, for or against? That's my question. And I'd like an answer from everybody.
So we'll go in alphabetical order, and I'll try and do it right this time since I have my papers in order now. Jeff, go ahead.
Can
You're breaking up a little bit, but yes, we can hear you if you can keep talking.
let me reposition my mic, see if that's better.
Much better.
So the question is, am I for or against like a ranch-wide blanket waiver?
The home membership signing the waiver to protect Deer Springs Ranch. That's my question. Yes.
Question.
Hear you, Jeff.
Can't hear you.
Come
On, Jeff. Keep talking. It'll pick the mic up if you keep talking.
stupid microphone. So the blanket waiver that we had that we were all discussing for a couple of years, that one I would not, no, I'm not for that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Kate Huff.
So I'm like Jeff, I'm not in favor of a blanket waiver that all members are required to sign. I am in favor of a waiver for cabins and specific activities, but I don't think we should force members to sign a waiver.
Okay, thank you.
Greg?
Greg's not
Who
here.
did you ask? Oh.
Greg
Oh, I
Maurer.
thought Greg Maurer was here. Sorry, my fault. Dave Turley.
I agree with Cade, and I second that.
Okay, so the answer is no, or not for it. Okay, thank you.
Nina?
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Was that me?
Yeah, Tina, go ahead.
Okay. So I feel like waivers need to have direct cause and effect. So blanket waiver, no. I think we should only look at waivers if we can clearly identify what they would prevent against.
Thank you. And I skipped you again, Kevin. You
So
speak up and yell at me.
may I just ask to clarify? So if it said what it protects, would you say you're for it or against it? For
So an example
the whole membership.
for the whole membership, I don't agree with forcing all members to sign a waiver.
Okay, thank you.
And it would need to be clear cause and effect.
Okay, thank you.
Again, Kevin, sorry, you're up.
No problem. I would definitely am not in favor of compulsory. Having a rule with penalties if I don't perform a certain signature seems counter to the whole point. I would, however, be in favor of if anyone that wants to voluntarily indemnify the ranch, I think that's a personal choice. But as far as kind of a requirement, no. And
Thank you.
obviously for cabin rentals and certain other activities, volunteer things of that nature, where an individual is taking their own risk, they should acknowledge that and stand by their own risk. So,
Thank you.
thank you, Kevin. Next question.
May I ask a question of clarification, please? This is Joe Gardeski, Lot 27.
Absolutely.
So when we were up there and attended the meeting, great meeting, by the way, and really glad to be part of the association, my wife Donna and I, and meet everybody. I asked a question about this subject, the liability for the association lands, the requirement that everyone would have to sign it, even to use lands that were really shared lands as part of our DSROA ownership, being a lot owner, and I was told that that had been dropped. Are we talking the same thing? And if so, it had been dropped, and why are we asking the question? I'm just seeking some understanding, not being confrontational at all.
That's all right. And I'll go ahead and field this question since I've dealt a lot with this particular subject. Unless any of the other candidates would like to discuss it, I'll go ahead and field it. Stop me if you don't want me to. The general liability waiver was voted on and removed. Council was engaged and we discussed the pros and cons. and the various things that occurred on the ranch. And it was settled on that we would have waivers that made sense as far as these are true liabilities that we're going to look at, cabin rentals, and maybe in the future we may look at volunteerism having a waiver. But everybody, by just being a lot owner, already indemnifies themselves based on the CCNRs.
Sure.
And that's what, the lawyer came to the same conclusion that you've already done it. That extra layer of protection, sure, in the perfect world might be great, but that mess is what led to other things like cancellation of the insurance. And I'm not going to get into all of that. So for clarification,
May I just ask you something again for my clarification? As I understand, because I think I got it, I think that all the members got a form to fill out whether we approved it or not. And in the middle of that happening, that the board decided to cancel. Am I correct?
no, there was no form for any member to approve anything. I don't know
I
what you're
thought I got
talking
a form.
about. No, so there was a waiver in 2024. A waiver was sent out to all the members with their annual dues. So previous boards had tried to request that everybody sign the waiver with that, and that was sent out in 2024. That waiver has now been rescinded. The rule requiring that signature has been rescinded. And we have replaced the cabin waiver with a new waiver. So that waiver was also the cabin waiver for a period of time, and that's been replaced. And so there's no longer a requirement to annually sign a waiver in the rules and regulations.
But we were given that, and I do remember signing it.
Yeah, in
So thank
2024,
you.
that was sent out to everybody and asked to be returned. You're correct.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the answer. That sounds consistent with what was said at the meeting up at the ranch. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joe. All right, next question.
There's a
There's
question
one in
in
the
the chat,
chat.
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that. Let me find the chat window. Great question. What improvements would you like to see at the at DSR? And we'll just go alphabetical order. And since you guys probably know the alphabet better than I do, kick it off, Jeff.
Like I didn't hear the question.
I'm sorry, Kevin. The question is, what improvements would you like to see at DSR? And we'll start with Jeff.
Yeah, hear you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. Maybe I just got to yell at the microphone. I don't want to come off angry. Personally, I would like to see a pavilion of some sort, like down where we do the gatherings for the meetings and stuff like that, where we set up the easy ups and all those kinds of things, so we don't have to do that. It's just kind of permanent. I think that would be neat. At a bathroom up at the ponds would be awesome. I just know that there's issues with septic being too close to the water and all kinds of problems with that, but I think that would be really cool if we could figure out a way to do that. And of course, clean the cabins up better, upgrade them, paint them, something. But that's going to probably take time and money. So, those are pretty much the things that I envision.
Great, thank you. Kate?
So when I first ran for the board 3 years ago, I brought up a reserve study, and with Michael's pushing, I think we've actually got a reserve study getting close to being completed. So I think that's going to help out a lot with some of the improvements. I think we've got a lot of amenities and features at the ranch that we just need to take better care of. So kind of to Jeff's point, we need to be able to go ahead and maintain the stuff that we already have, and then look at some possible improvements like a pavilion maybe, rather than having to set up shade every time we do board meetings, et cetera. It was also discussion of having a place to park the fire truck or park the fire truck. I mean, it's an older fire truck and if it just sits out there in the sun all day, it's probably gonna rot away. It'd be nice to have a place to kind of protect that. I like the bathroom idea for new stuff, but I think, first we got to get a good process and handle on roads and cabins and that. And again, I think this board has made some good strides with that with Kevin on the roads side of things. And it's been a good board kind of working towards that, but there's a lot more we can obviously do. We keep getting derailed in crazy things like waivers and other topics that are not into improving the ranch. It'd be nice to actually start focusing on making plans with the reserve study and working towards improving the items that we already have. That's all I got.
Thanks, Kevin Poole.
Yeah, and kind of sounds like an echo chamber. Obviously, the cabins are always going to be a point of improvement, especially missing decks, rotten decks, decks that are undermined that need proper footings. It'd be nice to see some insulation in cabins 9 and 10 on the exterior walls to help beat the heat. They're very, very uncomfortable in July and August. That's probably why no one rents them because they're too hot. I love the idea of a fire department. Actually, have some of the full-timers out here who are trained in the use of the fire truck. I would like to see that barn out there that we have. I know some people are really fond of the peacocks, but they would make an utter mess of the truck. But that would be a potential place to keep it out of the weather. But to have that equipment maintained and ready to go at a moment's notice, over the last few days, that fire that we had was about a half a mile from my house, so the fire issue is really fresh on my mind and heart right now. And Michael, your camera picked up the planes dropping as well, so it's very close to you as well. Fire's not something I would wish on anyone. That's just it's a terrible thing, and hopefully some of the fire mitigation would be a nice thing to see actually occur. And I know there's been effort from this board to work with Nick Dastrup in the Department of Natural Resources, and hopefully we'll get some grant money that will ease the burden of some of the fire mitigation out here. It'd be great to see that happen. Pavilion, sure. I mean, why not? But that's so far down the road. I mean, unfortunately, there's so many things in the ranch now that have come into a state of disrepair that we've got a lot of ground to make up before we can really start to add amenities. But basically, I'd like to see, like that, I think Cade said that, maintain what we have and get to where we can do those additional things. So thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Dave Turley.
I like the idea of shade pavilions. We've been there this summer quite a bit, and I have PTSD also from my aunts being there during the summer, and they're made of finer stuff than some of us. And it was always a big issue. We don't have a place to be to meet. And so it doesn't have to be expensive. I just talked to Larry about it because that ball got dropped a long time ago on material that was provided, but we never created that pavilion. If you've noticed, there's one at the lower pond. I put the posts up with the ranch manager at the time, and the board wouldn't let me put a roof on it. So at some point, the board said I could, and so I'm still going to do that. Toilets, whether it's a compost, a pit, a portable toilet, something at least at the ponds. I think clean cabins are a huge issue. People don't go from my family, don't want to go to the ranch because of the condition. I'm not talking about right now, but in the past, there have been issues. So it's a huge it should be a huge priority for some of us. There was always a conflict of interest with people that had a cabin, so they didn't stay in the ranch cabins. And so, because people claim I have a conflict of interest, then I said, you shouldn't be able to opine because you have your own place. So, Jeff and Tina, you know what I'm talking about. Where, but we invite people to stay at the ranch, and they're the ones that stay in the ranch cabins. I've stayed in ranch cabins for 50 years. So it's been fabulous to be able to stay there. And I get it. The rodents want to invade, and that's been an issue for some people. It was a big deal when the movie crew was there, and it was kind of funny, but not funny. Roads, if I could just say this, I've never seen them in better shape than now. So thanks to you, Kevin. Thanks to probably Ezra has had a lot to do with it. I think it's a absolutely, if there's a top 10 list, it's way up there. People need access to their lots. And so thank you to everyone that's made improvements. Larry, probably again, I don't know who does it, but talking to Kevin, that there's an issue about the equipment sitting there not being used, and it's a very exclusive club for those that can use them, use the grader and whatever the backhoe. So maybe we could open up a little bit and figure out how to do that better. Water is a huge, huge issue, both clean water, access to the water, and also the water rights. We've got, I mean, that was brought up at the meeting, and we've got to make sure that that's a can that doesn't get kicked down the road, that if we don't use them appropriately, we're going to lose them. And so I think obviously that needs to be a big priority. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. Horse rides are huge. There are people in the comments of the survey that I did that said when horse rides were available at the ranch, my children wanted to go. As soon as they were not available, horses were not available. There was no reason for my kids to go, so I think that should be brought back, and it should be way up there on the priority list. Also, kind of maybe coming out of nowhere for some of you, when the ranch was purchased, part of the agreement was to maintain the Findlay cabin in the meadow, and because of a big snow storm, the roof caved in, and the ranch didn't we weren't able to make it a priority. And so I want to rebuild that cabin so that it can be seen and used. And that's a priority for me. I think the look around headquarters is really important. It's first impression for a lot of people. And it's improved. It can continue to improve. Simply either remove the log entrance that's not complete and was not finished, or finish it. Things like that. And the equipment should be in an equipment barn, shed, something. And again, it's looking better, but I think that should also be a huge priority. The suggestion was made to improve the barn so it could be used to meet in, enclose it, not allow the peacocks to camp out there. I put the roof on. I'm surprised it wasn't done sooner than that. But it's got a good roof, and we could do something to improve it. And again, maybe that's in lieu of a barn, or I mean, in lieu of a pavilion, or in addition to. We need an equipment shed. Like I said, there's material that's been in the well field for ever, 10 years, that we could use to make some kind of a shelter. It's white, and people didn't want a white roof at the ranch headquarters that could be seen and ruin the feng shui, if there is anything. I don't think feng shui even existed before when headquarters was originally made. I love the idea of a fire crew. I was a volunteer firefighter for 7 years and certified, and I think that's a brilliant idea that some of us need to be trained, retrained. And train others so that we are at least able to push back against nature. I was there when the fire, I could see the smoke, and I have a lot that's near pools. And it is horrifying to think that you just have to gather your keys up and hightail it out of there because there's nothing you can do. So even state even having the fire truck closer to the fire, I think we were able to sleep a little bit better. It makes a huge difference to be able to defend ourselves if something like that happens, and even have extra water there if we can do anything to save what we created. That's all.
Thanks, Dave. Tina Warhurst.
Hey, so my first thought is whatever fits in the budget, that has to be top priority. I don't want to see members stuck with additional costs for anything. I'm gonna echo a lot of what people have said, roads and water, highest priority, I believe. And with the idea of fire mitigation, finding some way to have alternate exits for people who are on the ranch. Additional roads, whatever that looks like, to be able to make sure that if there is, heaven forbid, any kind of disaster like that, that people don't get stuck. So I think that part of working on the roads would be really important. I'm in agreement with the other board members as far as some kind of shelter for community to meet. I feel like community connection needs to happen, and if it's too uncomfortable, people won't come to the meetings or the events. And so I feel like if there's minimal budget for that, then it could happen that there'd be a place where people can at least be comfortable. So I'm supportive of that as long as it fits within the budget. But roads and water, obviously high priority. I'm also a little concerned about the ponds. They're pretty overgrown and full of silt, and I feel like they could be improved upon a little bit more. Not just for fishing, but for enjoyment for families. And I really support things that we can do that will bring families together at the ranch. I'm very much in favor of your lot, do your thing, but we have a community and a community that needs to come together more for more enjoyable things rather than just board meetings. So if we have space and can improve spaces for that, I think that's important. I grew up on a ranch out on the Arizona Strip, and the terrain is the exact same as the Deer Springs Ranch. So the things that I enjoyed was cattle drives, riding horses, being able to just be out in the open and on the dirt paths. That was really important growing up with that. And I think we have children that come to the ranch, and it would be great to have something for them to enjoy out there.
Thank you, Tina.
Hey,
There was a.
Michael, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Maybe we go in reverse order for the next one.
That's fine.
Just.
I was gonna ask. I'm not sure. I've read some of the chat. And forgive me, Joe, I'm not sure I understand what the question is or if there's a question. Kate, if you know, maybe you can articulate it out so I understand it. But Joe, if you have it, please speak up. Because I'm not sure what the question is.
Sure, Michael. That's why I thought it would be best to write it, honestly. And I lifted that right from the website. I guess Kate and Jeff have been illustrative in helping me understand that I drank some Kool-Aid. How would I know? And I'm disappointed because I drank the Kool-Aid. And if it's marketing hype, shame on me. I guess getting to know many of you well, and having met you and knowing that you're well-intentioned volunteers, I've volunteered for boards down here. I know what it takes, so I greatly appreciate the volunteer time and effort that you put in. A lot of careful analysis from what I've heard by attending the meetings and so forth. So this is helping me understand some of the noise in my head and trying to figure out, what's going on. Recognize I'm coming from a place called California, where CC&Rs and HOAs are bad words. When I made my last relocation 2008 down here to San Diego, I specifically took a place that did not have either. And I'm not saying they're bad, I'm just saying they're not for this guy. I will also add that having lived in Colorado and other places, I feel like Utah is my second home. Spent a lot of time jeeping and going all over Moab and Sand Hollow and camping. And at elevation, Deer Springs has got to be as close to heaven as I can find it. So it is going to take me a while to swallow my disappointment that it really isn't laissez-faire, hands off, kumbaya. And there's going to be more California than I realized. I take that back. There's never going to be California. That was not meant. But some well-intentioned, reasonable management of our assets and resources for the good of all, I guess, is properly the way to put it. And I will withdraw the question if everyone agrees with that statement. And how can you not? Because it's motherhood and apple pie. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you.
I think I could kind of respond to your question though too, because I don't know that it's a false advertising, but I don't know if everybody if all of them want to respond, but I'd be willing to respond.
Please
Go ahead.
do.
We'll just leave it open as an open forum for this question, and anybody who wants to can kick it off, Gabe.
So when I purchased out at Deer Springs Ranch, I'm actually a realtor, and have seen all the good and the bad of HOAs. Like you, I've been through enough of them that I didn't necessarily want to get involved in one again, but I closely looked at the CC&Rs before we purchased out here. I was excited by the fact that there aren't, a lot of restrictions on what you can build, how you can build, where you can build. All of that stuff is left up to the county rules and stuff that way. I also enjoyed, the relaxation and stuff with the cabins. I don't think everybody enjoys the cabins necessarily. They bring their own little bit of fun, both as you are as a renter and a user of the cabins, but also from a maintenance and liability perspective, right? So that's kind of a unique thing to DSROA. But I would say that I don't know about laissez-faire as the appropriate word, because that seems like we're not necessarily caring too much. I think we care, but I definitely believe in allowing you to do what you want to on your lot and not letting the HOA impede on that. That's one reason I wasn't in favor of a waiver that was forced upon members, just to come to their own lot and do stuff that way. So I think most of the board members and most of the members out here kind of share that same attitude. I can't say all of them do, but most of them are here just to be come and enjoy it, be left alone. But we do have to have some management in order to support the infrastructure that we have.
Agreed.
And if I could
Anybody
just
else?
piggyback on that just really quick, Joe, I think that's the reason why the membership really rejected the waiver to begin with, is because that's why most of us have land out at DSR. So we want to just do our thing, be happy, but have decent roads, have water, things that we need.
Freedom.
May I have some clarification, because I'm not sure I understood. The waiver, is what I just heard, had in it somehow that you couldn't do what you wanted on your own land. Is that what I heard? Because I didn't know it had anything to do with one's own land.
No, it did not.
It did not what?
It did not have any restrictions on your own property. It was for
Oh,
a
okay.
concentration.
Thank you. Okay.
But
Thank you.
that's, yeah,
I
that's.
didn't think it did. Just wondered. I don't know if this is the time or not, but I just want to let you all know. I don't know if any of you knew Tony Banham, but he and his wife, at the time, Charlotte, purchased land at Deer Springs Ranch and offered it as an auction item at the preschool that my son and daughter went to. And that's why we bought land at Deer Springs Ranch.
Thank you, Sally.
I would like to answer Joe's question. Yeah, like you, when my wife and I began the search for property, we looked at one community there actually in Orderville, a log cabin community. And the list of restrictions and requirements were, it didn't take me about 35 minutes to read through about the first three pages of that, wad the whole thing up and stuff it in the bin where it belonged. I think that the spirit of Deer Springs Ranch is that freedom. The spirit is to be able to be in the wide open spaces, to enjoy nature, to do your own thing without the impediment of society and all of the overbearing rules and regulations and stifling nonsense that comes with a lot of these things.
Thank you.
You know, I think also that because we are an HOA, we are a water hauling community, the HOA has obligations for water. It has obligations for roads. It has obligations for protecting water rights. There's a lot of things that are here that the HOA does that are highly valuable, maintaining the cabin usage for future generations, and hopefully getting them back up to full speed would be, all things that are beneficial that aren't those overbearing draconian rules that we all hate. I mean, if we wanted that, we would be in a gated community somewhere and toeing the line, but we're not. We're out here because we're free spirits. So anyway, that's kind of my two cents on that.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody else want to comment on that particular topic?
Thank you all.
Can't say much more than everybody else has said. That's kind of what brought us out here. We're from California, and the rules and the restrictions, and they're in your business, and all that stuff is kind of what brought us out here also. I looked at property for 10 years before we bought here, and intentionally trying to stay away from HOA type situations. But when you look at rural property and figure out that you're 16 miles off pavement and you're on your own to deal with your neighbors and who's going to fix the road, and your neighbor doesn't want to participate, but you want to get in and out, so it kind of falls on you. So that was kind of what led me into being okay with an HOA like Deer Springs. So, like everybody else has said, read through the protective covenants, read through the rules, read through all those things. They're all minimal, but yet Deer Springs Ranch is the one that's handling the road. I don't have to go to each and every neighbor and beg them to help fix our road so we can get in and out to the grocery store. So yeah, while it's an HOA, there are assets that we all share. So water, like people have said, roads, people have said, cabins. Cabins are a unique kind of thing. It was kind of neat to see kind of a morph of a timeshare involved in the whole thing too. It was kind of cool. But we have a responsibility to take care of those things and maintain those things so that we can keep those things. So the HOA is kind of a necessary evil, if you will. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
Thank you all. Thank you, Michael. Just to wrap this up and let the meeting go on so we don't dwell on this any further, I'll just conclude by saying this is a very special thing for Don and I to have this private property in the middle of a national monument. Of course, that's a whole other discussion. But to have individual rights and freedoms, but also have an organization that's mission is to be helped to be of benefit to everyone else, to me, is the best of both worlds. So, anything that can be done from a layman's perspective, I'm happy to help. And thank you again to the people that are on the board. Thank you, Michael, for fielding the question.
You bet. Thanks. There's another question in the chat. What is your current thoughts about what to do with the airstrip? And let's go backwards. Tina?
Oh, and I have to have original thoughts now. So the airstrip is I thought really cool when we bought our property. It was a cool thing to think about having that there if I ever decided to become a pilot or if there was ever emergencies. And from what I understand, that can stay as an option. I think that impeding our ability to get liability insurance is really a big thing. Especially when it limits us to one provider. And if that provider becomes unhappy with us, then we lose options. So if there is a way to keep the strip available for people, but not have it as part of DSR's managing the documents, then I think that's the best of both worlds.
Thank you, Tina. Dave?
The same. I mean, it was discussed that there may be, we may be able to have a group manage it and take the liability. And so someone in my family is a pilot and wants to fly in. So it's a big deal for us. And as long as it's not done away with and destroyed, however it's managed, I'm 100% in favor of.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hate to sound just like Tina and Dave, but obviously the opportunity to have a independent group take over that liability, that responsibility, if there is a way to segregate that, protect the ranch and maintain the asset, that's kind of the best of both worlds. I think we owe it to ourselves and to the membership to exhaust that avenue. If it's exhausted and it doesn't happen, then I think we also have to consider the excessive cost of liability of those things of that nature. It's either that or we all need to pony up and pay more money to keep it. I mean, so it's kind of a poison pill. Which way do you want to go? I view it as an asset, especially for those lot owners adjacent to that airstrip. It's a huge asset for those. But it is also an asset to the overall ownership, same as the cabins are an asset to the overall ownership. So I'd like to see it stay if there's a way to make that happen and to do it economically. So that's what I would like to see.
Thank you, Kevin. Gabe?
So I think the current approach, especially where we've kind of got a vote going out to the members, I mean, it may seem a little bit rushed to some people, but I think it's going to give us a good gauge of what the members feel. And ultimately, it comes down to the members, right? If the members are willing to even cover the current costs and increase and keep it as an asset, even under the current structure, I'm fully supportive of it. And as a member personally, I would be willing to pay a little extra just for that additional benefit. But as a board member, I also can't assume that that's what all the members want to do, right? So I think, now that we've got a vote going out there, can kind of gauge where the members feel. If they do take it off of the CC&Rs, it still gives us some flexibility to pursue the other avenues that people have talked about of putting it into another management structure, et cetera. I think there still needs to be a little bit more investigation in that. But my biggest concern is, one, are the members willing to support it and pay for it? Right now, it doesn't seem like a lot of people are using it, but everybody wants or seems to have a desire to possibly use it or that dream, right, of having their friends or family or whatever come in and use it. So I think we all kind of have that dream. I have that dream. When I saw it, I thought it was a cool asset as well. One of the things that drew me to the ranch. Probably more the cabins than the airstrip because I don't currently fly. But yeah, I think that's my biggest thing is we got to make sure that it works for all the members or a good majority of the members. It may not work for everybody, but make sure whatever we do is something that all the members can support.
Thanks, Kate. Jeff?
Basically, I ditto kind of a little bit of what everybody has said. I think the airstrip is cool. It was kind of neat. I'm a little disappointed. We've been here since 2019 and never seen an aircraft on it, but because that I think would be even neater. But yeah, I mean, if we can keep it, that's great. If we can't, then we need to basically do what we're doing, reach out to the membership and say, hey, here's the problems. Help us resolve these problems. It's our asset. So, yeah, it's just one of those tough deals.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to throw out a question here. So you have your candidacy. You know what the responsibilities are, basically. I mean, we announce who's over this and who's over that. And if you were elected, do you have a preference? Do you see something where you have a specific skill set or can contribute better to one area versus another. And let's go backwards again. We'll start with Tina.
Well, I'll just outright admit that I am not an engineer. I'm not a road worker. I haven't worked in construction. But I field emails and phone calls and texts all day long as part of what I do in my business and managing staff. So any form of management that I can do, secretary work, backup for someone, or just helping with communication, I'm happy to fill whatever role is has necessary spot.
Thank you. Backwards, Greg. Greg, who's next?
Greg or
Yep.
Dave, sorry, Dave.
Dave Turley.
I'm gonna just in just to be short, I was looking for the list. I am a roofing contractor. I put on most of the roofs. Ezra asked me, or no, Kevin asked. Who asked me? Jeff asked me. And it's interesting to look back at my invoices and think, man, I was doing those for less than cost. But the good news is I haven't had to redo them. I fixed the ones that I didn't do. But things like the barn roof are still on there. It's amazing. So construction, equipment, wildlife. I talked to Larry about the landowner hunting permit issue, thinking that might be something that we could change. Roads, and I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. Some of these things are being handled very well, of course, and so I'm happy to do anything, except what was it that you said, Tina? Secretary work or accounting. So, anyway, I hope that's helpful. But and I do know I can ask questions, and those that have experience or have things to suggestions to things to avoid, I'm good at asking questions, and I'm not above that. So
Thank you. Kevin Poole.
I'm actually very happy with roads right now, Dave. I kind
I
of
know
like
you are. I know you are, and I'm glad you're there. It's amazing the difference you've made. Seriously.
Well, thank you. We have to thank Larry. Larry's really the boots on the ground guy. I've been able to coordinate with him, and then being able to work with Ezra as a new asset on roads has been huge, especially with those recent storms. There's an idea floated that's not been settled, but the equipment maintenance and overseeing that, I would be happy to work in that field with the mechanical experience. I speak the language. It would be an added asset, I think. I could take that and budget it and oversee some of that equipment, maybe get it upgraded, repaired, and in better shape. Of course, it's all older stuff, so it's always going to break somewhere. It's just the nature of the beast. I'm surprised it isn't blowing hoses faster than it has, but I'd be happy with that. And like Dave, man, don't give me the clerical stuff. If you want it botched up good, just let me have it. That's why I paid an accountant. So, but any of those hands-on type things, it would not be my preference, but overseeing some of the cabin repairs, I mean, I can certainly do that. But I'm very happy where I am, so I would like to continue with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Kate?
The first 2 years that I served, I was over roads. I did depend on Larry quite a bit. I'm kind of jealous of Kevin having Ezra around to help out a little bit there. I think we could have got a few more things done with that. But currently, I've been serving as a secretary. It's a real pain in the rear. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I think I'm starting to get that under my belt a little bit. And it's one thing, after a year, you kind of finally start getting things under or kind of figured out. So I wouldn't be opposed to doing that again. I don't know that I want Michael's job, but I could do that if I needed to. Maybe we'll swap Michael if you want to go that route. And then, yeah, really, I'm up for anything that we have to manage. I'm not necessarily a mechanic, but I feel adequate in mechanical things, construction things, any of those scenarios. So wherever the board decides that I'm needed, I'm willing to serve.
Thank you, Cade. Jeff?
You know, everybody with the paperwork-y stuff. I'm
Not
not,
every, well, I guess I said I didn't like it too
except
much.
maybe Cade.
Kate and Tina.
Oh yeah, that's not my thing for sure. I can't hardly read my own writing sometimes, so but I'm over cabins right now, and headquarters area infrastructure type stuff, and that's kind of where I'm comfortable. But I'll do whatever needs to be done. I've been trying to learn stuff about the water. I drive the roads, so I do see what's going on with them. And Kevin is absolutely doing a great job. But yeah, cabins would be kind of my preference.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions?
I've got one for the group again.
Yeah, Ben.
Hey, so obviously there's been some contention for past board meetings. What, so I guess my question for the group is like, what do you plan to do to, or what can you bring to the table to reduce that contention, right, and help people get along?
Deputy Sheriff.
Go ahead, Dave. You start this one off, and then we'll fan out from there.
Am a peace and love kind of a guy, but I have seen there were board meetings where the deputy sheriff was there just to keep people from choking each other. We are a very diverse group, and we have a very different vision than some of our neighbors about what needs to happen. And so somehow coming together, I love the fact that Sally was asked to open with prayer at the next board meeting. That's how we reduce the friction and create a friendly environment. So I think those things are important. I think it was a beautiful suggestion, and I think we're moving in the right direction. So,
And
Ben,
she accepted.
yes, she did. That's good. She should have accepted. I'm glad you did. And so, Ben, we need to put the ideas out there, and they're going to get kicked around. But it doesn't have to be personal. It doesn't have to be ugly. But there are people that have very, very strong feelings about certain things. And so we're just going to have to listen to each other and figure out how we come to the middle on some of these things. And I don't know how to do that, except we need to keep talking and not go away mad and or come to the meeting mad. We need to talk, and that's how we work these things out. And sometimes we just have to say, you know what? I don't agree with you, but I understand your feelings or whatever it is that you stated. And so that's what we're going to have to work with. I mean, that's not a very good answer, but we're people. And at the end of the day, we generally want the same thing. And the ranch is going to be different. Some people want to show up and hike, and they don't like the off-road vehicles. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that people bring up. Talking and then discussion and suggestions and questions. I think there's some of that about the board responding to these questions that are being asked and these issues that come up, and responding quickly instead of just letting it go.
Thanks, Dave. Kevin Poole.
Well, in an era of civil discourse, I don't know there is an answer to that question. It seems to be an epidemic of it in the nation, of every group pointing the finger at every other group, and hatred of each other for apparently no reason seems to be rampant and out of control. I mean, look no further than the political spectrum. Makes you want to basically just go to your lot, stick your head in the ground, and never come back down. I have to agree with what Dave said. Keep talking, try to problem solve, keep moving forward, develop the spirit of forgiveness. because that stuff seems to be lost in our nation right now, and it's a grief.
Thank you, Kevin. And we'll go backwards to Tina.
So as I've listened to the board meetings, one thing that I've noticed is a lot of the discourse that gets heated, even a little argumentative, is when people are misunderstanding each other, or misunderstanding the concept or what's on the table. And I think we end up then responding to just prove our point rather than to listen and reflect back so that there can be some understanding. And I feel like if communication happens prior to the board meeting a little bit more, then the board meeting can go a little more smoothly. People can feel heard, their questions can be ready to be answered. And then like information can be put out there likely in writing so that people can have a good idea of what it is, not just what they heard somebody just say. I think that would go a long way to people being able to understand. And obviously we're all going to disagree on some things, and it comes to the board to make sense of that and do what's best for the ranch and for the membership. And not everyone's going to agree on that, but just my personal experiences, even if I don't agree, I feel a lot better when someone really understands my point.
Thank you, Tina. We're going to skip Kate and go to Jeff. Kate will be last.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Just checking. Yeah, I kind of ditto what everybody says. You can't please everybody all the time. So we already know that. We just have to try to listen to each other, try to understand where each other's coming from. And if you, yeah, I mean, if we can't come to a conclusion or a consensus, then we just are going to have to agree to disagree. The problem comes that we still have to be able to navigate through agreeing to disagree, because we're a board that has to make decisions. So even if you disagree, a decision still has to be made one way or the other. So it gets kind of challenging sometimes, but we all just have to work hard to figure it out. And I mean, I could bring boxing gloves if that helps. I don't know that it would help, but we could try it. Anyway,
Thanks, Jeff.
that's all I got.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, Cade, you're up.
So over the past 3 years, I have been shocked at how often we are so close in agreement, but just get hung up on little details. And then the other problem that I see is the people that disagree, some it quickly changes into you don't like me, or you are against me, or you know, because I have a different opinion than you does not mean that I don't like you any less or disagree with you anymore. But when we start getting into the moving off of the topic and into the attacking of the other person, then it's obviously gone way too far. And we need to start pulling things back and bring it back to the smaller snail. The other thing is sometimes we try and bring so many different things into a conversation that it starts to muddy the waters, and then again feelings start to get hurt and change that way. So I like Tina's idea of trying to get things focused and narrowed down to the specific item that we're specifically talking about, and then have a clear vote on that, right? Allow people to provide their comments and then allow the board to vote. I mean, the board has been elected to serve you guys, and they're there to listen and communicate. But once they've listened, if they decide to go a different route, it's not necessarily because they didn't listen or didn't hear you. they've come up with a different agreement. And the way to change that is to get new people on the board, and kind of proceed from there. So I think there's definitely disagreements on the board itself, and there's disagreements between board members and members, and there's different disagreements between members and members. So we all just need to recognize that we all have different opinions. We're all unique individuals, and just because we disagree doesn't mean that that other person's a bad person.
Thanks, Cave.
Michael, may I add a comment?
Yeah, Dave, I was going to say, go ahead, Dave. You've got one more thing to add to this.
I, simply that some people interpret disagreements as the louder I am, the more people will pay attention. And when I was on the board, we would hear over and over again that this is the majority feeling, when in fact it's one person or it's a small group of people, and they think that the louder they are, the more persuasive they're going to be. And so there's every lot has a vote, and so we need to be mindful of that. And as much as so one person or a small group of people think that they're representing the majority, that necessarily is not, I mean, that is not necessarily the case. And so we need to be mindful of whatever anybody's saying as a board, but at the same time, the board has been given the mandate to make the decisions, and we go with that. And you don't like it, run for the board and or have someone represent you that thinks the same way you do. So we're going to get into that over and over again, where people think that they represent the majority when in fact they don't necessarily represent everyone.
Dave, you led very well into my next question, if nobody else had one.
Just a comment, if I might.
Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. I appreciate Ben's question, and I appreciate the spirit that's in the room of all the answers. One of the things I think we members need to recognize is that it's very difficult sometimes for a board to come to a decision, because Jeff's right, a decision has to be made. And I'll paraphrase Kate. You know, people are individuals. They all have their individual opinions. They have to come together collectively. But one of the best things a board can do is come across as individuals, let people know how they feel, explain their position, and then try and lead to consensus. And I sense that this board and the individuals who gave the answers are trying to do that. Letting your hair down with the people out here that have the 300 lots is a really good thing, because they get to know you and your people. You're not just a faceless, nameless board. Credibility and trust is a big thing. And the more the board can do what you've been doing in my short time here, reaching out, getting communication, encouraging emails, encouraging phone calls, asking for participation, having Zoom meetings, letting people ask the questions and talk during the in-person and during the Zooms. The more you explain, the more people talk, the better they're going to feel that they're engaged and trust that the board's making decisions on their collective behalf. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Joe. Any other questions?
Can
Right,
I
we
mention
most go ahead.
something really quickly? I'm surprised that there are 15-ish people here, but I'm not surprised. Some people will listen to the recording, but thinking back, very few people get involved when it comes to the ranch. A lot, I mean, there are different subgroups, people that don't care, people that are very vocal, people that, like me, that hope that the board does the right thing. And I know what's right. Sometimes the board doesn't, of course. But the point is, very few people get involved. And there is one or two people that are very vocal, that act like they represent the rest of the members, or at least the majority. And so this is typical of just a handful of people that get involved, and that's sometimes it's discouraging, but it's the reality.
Again, that leads into my next question, if nobody has a question. As a board member, you get to make decisions that are very unpopular. And I've heard, member involvement, member, but truly, when you're elected to the board, You are representing the HOA. You are representing the entity, and those members have elected you to hopefully present their values, their ideas, their beliefs, whatever, as part of how to guide and lead that entity. Are you going to be able to separate what's best for the HOA versus sometimes what may be best for a member? If that makes any sense, if you understand the question, if not, I'll try to clarify better. And I'll let anybody who wants to go first, and then we'll fan out from there.
I'll take that. There's two things that are happening at the same time. We are trusted servants of the people who have asked us to represent them on the board, and we are also the gatekeepers for the HOA, which means we absolutely have to make unpopular decisions. Is it a popular decision to say that insurance or liability insurance, or excuse me, the like the property owner's insurance on the cabins, the ones that we were not able to obtain because the cost was just absolutely off the chart. I'm sure that was not a popular decision. Everyone would much prefer that those structures be insured. But at the same time, how much money do we spend on insurance that does no good? So there is a fine line between the trusted servant and making the hard decision, because we have to make these decisions with the greater good of everybody. And if the greater good is to go uninsured because the other side of that is to raise everybody's fees to an unreasonable rate in a single assessment, and it still doesn't cover the problem, then exactly where do you fall out in that? It is a very difficult job. It's a very thankless job. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on that's not seen that you'll get a whole new appreciation if you have to go to these meetings, if you have to see these things, if you have to be involved in these discussions. And to me, I have to always buffer what I think is right by what's best for everybody. And that's, sometimes it's not what I want, but it's what has to happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. And I won't make everyone answer this one because this one is an uncomfortable one. But whoever wants to go next, go ahead.
I'm happy to go. I feel like as long as the board has a set of guiding principles and all board members are communicating well and willing to live up to those principles, then decisions are made based on those principles. And that is what's best for the ranch, what's best for the membership, even if some people are mad at you, and even if well, I can just say everyone I've met so far I've really liked, so there isn't anybody I have big disagreements with. But I understand that there are going to be unpopular decisions that actually have to be made. I think the airstrip is a really good example of that, that there's a decision that has to be made. It's going to be unpopular one side or the other, but best interests of the ranch and the membership have to come first. And that's part of the guiding principles, protecting the assets of the ranch, protecting the funds of the ranch, and not putting undue burdens on members in the process.
Thank you, Tina.
So, kind of echoing a little bit what Tina was saying. So, this year the board has spent a lot of time reviewing state law, counseling with attorneys, reviewing our CC&Rs and our bylaws. So, those are kind of the governing documents and stuff that Tina's talking about. Those are the what we need to work through and kind of abide by. And Michael's done a really good job of keeping us in check and following the rules, and I try and do that as well. All the board members, we're trying to. That's one big thing that the board has been working on. You probably aren't seeing it quite as much in the background, because a lot of that's happening in the background. But even another good example is we're doing less executive meetings, So previously, a lot of executive meetings were occurring, kind of like Tina said, to discuss things beforehand and kind of come prepared. But that left members out of the discussion. And I think Tina's kind of talking more about the members need to be more informed beforehand. And really, the discussions need to be held in front of the members and let them see that. So, because there's a little bit of disconnect of things happening in the background or in the sideline. So I think that's another thing that we're doing or working a lot better at. And hopefully, if I don't get elected, it kind of continues along that path and goes that route. But that helps us balance those two scenarios out, right? One, we do want to represent the members, and you've got a need to represent them, but then you also need to represent the entity or the corporation as best as possible as well, and balancing those two out is really kind of a balance. And I think Tina brought up the airport as a good example. You know, putting that out to a vote, we're required to by the CCNRs to change them, right? So that if we're following the rules, theoretically, stuff that the members should have a vote on and a decision on, we put that out there for them and get their feedback. If we're changing a rule, we should be sending the 15-day notice with the potential rule changes. We've been better at actually sending the notice, but I think we could do better at having the actual changes maybe prepared the 15 days before and send that so that they have 15 days to actually review that and provide that feedback. So through those methods, I think we can provide a little bit more balance.
Thank you, Kate. Jeff or Dave, would either of you like to comment? Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I could just kind of ditto what everybody else is saying. It's like I know I've heard it referred to as we need to look out for the company. Like it's separate from the members. But in a way it is, in a way it isn't, right? So the members as a whole, the whole entire thing is the company. So if we do something screwy or put the company in a pickle, the members as a whole get to eat that. So like it's a very tricky thing to navigate to make sure we're trying to do what we think is best for the entire thing, the company, the membership, all of it rolled into one big donut sandwich. Like it's very, very complex, but it's a lot of work. But in some aspects, it's, I don't know, it's kind of fun.
Definitely challenging. All right. Let's move on. If there's no other questions, I'll
I've
give just a.
actually got a question for the board members.
Do it.
So one of the questions on the questionnaire that's going to get sent out to everybody is how often you attend a board meeting. But I think it kind of goes a little bit beyond that. So we recently had to kind of total up the number of meetings that the board did this last year. And there's in addition to the 11 board meetings, there's the annual meeting, and then I think we had another 20 or 16 meetings that the board participated in. That's not to
Executive
count that
sessions.
there's 15. Well, like today, I think I pro had over 100 emails in my email box going throughout the day. So how are you going to balance your time and give this to the ranch? I know some of you guys, I haven't seen you at all the board meetings, and not necessarily we expect you to, but if you become a board member, you will be expected to be at the board meetings. So how do you kind of, with that workload, are you anticipating that workload? And then how are you going to manage it with your day-to-day life is kind of the question there.
Great question. Let's start in the middle. Kevin, have you gone first yet? I can't remember.
Am I muted or unmuted?
Yep, you're unmuted. I can't remember if you've gone first before
No, I don't. Well, I volunteered that last question. I
or.
did
Okay.
jump on that, but I know that Cade's question has been kind of a hot button topic. And This question came up primarily because of my attendance. I missed three meetings. Now, I may not have explained the reason behind my missing those meetings, but Friday night in December, I got a call from my oldest daughter and said, "Can you come get the kids tomorrow?" Because her mother was going into surgery for breast cancer on Monday morning, and she needed us to take the kids so that she would be available to be the caretaker for her mother after breast cancer surgery. So I don't know that you say, "Oh no, I can't come get the grandkids because I have a board meeting." Another meeting I missed because I was ill. Now I may not have explained the reason behind my absence, but those are both extremely valid reasons to not be at a board meeting. If you're physically ill and you're incapable of attending the meeting, and if you have a family emergency, I think those are reasons that we as a board and as a group should consider when we're taking these things into our viewpoint. So
No, and Kevin, just to be clear, I wasn't trying to bring up any past fact. I just we both discussed the overarching load, and it's more than I think a lot of people are expecting. I was just in general, I wasn't trying to bring out it. I apologize if that's how it came across, but I'm just trying to bring up, and particularly, we've got new people here that I don't know that they fully realize. It sounds like Dave's been on the board before. But I'm just wondering how the people balance that out. I mean, I know you're well aware of the load that's currently there, and that's so
And I'm
you.
gonna add on to that a little bit, Kate, just to make it a little more, little broader.
Sure.
Those executive sessions were necessary with the insurance, with the various things. There was many of those executive sessions and subcommittees and whatever else in order to get us going down the road.
And
And
hopefully there's not as many this upcoming year, but we can't predict, right?
yeah, and it's just a huge time suck at certain periods. And balancing that can be challenging. I think that's what
That's where
Cade
I
was
was going with it,
after
yes.
is how do you anticipate balancing that if you're elected, trying to do your best and still have a
Do your
life?
day job and have a life.
Yeah. So I think that's where that question was headed.
Agreed.
Well, overall, I don't think there's really an issue there. My availability is what it is. The question is, does attending every meeting get the job done?
No, there's more than that too, right? So it's
The
not just
whole
the
lot,
meeting. Yep.
more than that.
Yeah,
If I attended every meeting and did nothing with the roads, I don't think I'd be a real popular person right now. So, some of the meetings that aren't really effective to my area, it's a little easier to say, you know what, I'm gonna bow out of that one because I have no input, basically. If we need to take a vote, yeah, I'm there for the vote. But, if Michael wants to discuss which bookkeeping program is best, I don't have much input. I could care less if it's Peachtree or QuickBooks or something else. To me, it's like y'all choose, it's your thing, go for it, and if it's an expenditure that's going to benefit the ranch and the process, then yeah, that my vote is relevant and important, and I'm going to vote to support that. It is a balancing act because you can spend all your time on every subject and lose what you should be doing. So I don't know if that answers the question or not.
it did, Kevin. Thank you. Anybody else want to go?
I'll go. So I fully understand that the board meetings are just a sliver of what the board does, and that's really obvious just by looking at what the board has accomplished in the last year. So there's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes, and I fully understand that. I've been part of a statewide board for 8 years, and that's managing everything across the state, and meetings, extra meetings. We arranged conferences. We did all kinds of stuff and big trainings. I taught at trainings. There was a lot that was done behind the scenes. So I understand if I'm on a board, I'm committed to the board. I don't usually miss meetings unless there's an urgent issue or I'll throw up during the meeting. I don't know. I'm too sick to be there. I won't be there. Up to last year, when things were pretty heated, I was like just a member, and I would listen to the board meetings and recordings as I was working on my property, and didn't want to leave my projects to come down and sit at headquarters to listen to the meeting when I could be on Zoom. So I understand there's a shift there, and being at the meetings is important. And I can commit to being there barring any big circumstances.
Thank you, Tina. Anyone else?
I second what
Well,
everyone said.
your question was kind of based off of the questionnaire that kind of went out, right?
Yeah, because
How
it asks how many
many
of the
board
board
meetings
meetings
have
you've
you attended?
attended, and yeah, so recognizing that it's as a member, you can only are you you're not forced or you don't have an obligation to be there, right? Like Tina said, you can listen to the recordings afterwards or attend by Zoom, but as a board member, it's a little bit higher expectation, and then in addition to that, there's a lot more work behind the scenes. So I think Tina kind of talked about it, but and it's harder for the current board member. I mean, you guys already know what you're it's, and you've exhibited what you're doing with it. So it's probably more targeted at the non-candidates, more so than it was existing board members.
Dave, we were going to say something.
I missed a couple meetings in 3 years, and there was a little pushback when I was nominated to the board because I was an out-of-towner and I wasn't an on full-time resident of Deer Springs. And sometimes I'd drive down 4 hours and hit the meeting and drive right back on the same day. So I'm committed to doing it. I realize there's a lot of time that is behind the scenes, like Cade said, answering emails. I served briefly as president, and so I have a pretty good idea. I was also secretary, and I don't know what else I did, but I mean, it's there's a lot of commitment and required to do what is necessary. So I'm there.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Unless anybody has a pressing question, we'll close up. We've been on this 1 hour and 40 minutes. We'll take the last few minutes and let everybody just give any final thoughts. I am disappointed that no one brought up zombie apocalypse when they talked about buying their lots, but that's all right.
Well, you missed today. We were supposed to not have any gravity for a little while, so right.
Well, all right. We'll do alphabetical order to do the final thoughts. Let's do it the same way we'd started off, unless anybody objects. But go ahead, Jeff.
Time to add. Hopefully, if you think I'm doing a good job and will continue to do a good job, vote for me. And everybody here is probably just as eager and to try their best. So good luck to everybody.
Thanks, Jeff. Cade?
First, I just want to thank everybody that came to the meeting tonight. I mean, it shows your dedication. We ask a lot of the board members and stuff that way, but you guys that are coming to the meetings, contributing and stuff that way, I appreciate coming and getting informed and being able to make a decision that way. So appreciate that. I appreciate the previous board. I'm sure we'll have a chance to say thank you for the service that they've g given in the future meetings. But again, kind of echo Jeff. If you feel like I've been doing a decent job, go ahead and reelect me for the next couple of years, and we'll see if we can keep on continuing it on. If not, vote and kick me off. So.
Thanks, Kate. Kevin?
I'd just like to say good luck to everyone, and if we end up working together, I certainly hope it's a great experience. So thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Kate?
Kevin stole my thunder. That's what I wanted to say. So I'm grateful for anyone that's willing to serve, and I agree with what's been said. I'm grateful for those that have served, and I know there's a time commitment and there's a sacrifice, but we love the ranch, and that's why we do it.
Thanks, Dave. Tina?
So it sounds like I'm the newbie here that hasn't ever been on the board, and I can just acknowledge and express my gratitude for the current board members and past board members. There's a lot of talents and skills that they bring to the table. I'm really appreciative of that. And I'm just grateful if you give me a shot to show what I can do and be a part of this supporting the community.
Thank you, Tina. All right. I guess that will conclude the 2026 meet and greet.
So I
I
want to
appreciate
say thank you. I want to just say thank you. I, being a president of several boards, I know it takes an awful lot of work and a lot of commitment. So I just want to say thank you.
Thanks, Allie. Thank everyone for coming, participating. Ask some great questions, and I'm looking forward to the annual meeting. Thank you,
Thank you,
everyone.
candidates. Appreciate it.
See you there.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Night.
Bring on the zombies, especially in California.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.